The vibration of change. That magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. Yes, it can seem rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, and it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance, from the quality of your inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. Here on the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Are you ready to step into your vibration of change?
Hello, everybody. Welcome. You might be listening live here in the Seattle area on 1150 AM KKNW. You might be listening live on transformationtalkradio.com or, of course, on Facebook Live. You might be listening after the fact on one of the dozens of podcasts this ends up on or on my YouTube channel. Wherever and whenever you're joining us from today, so grateful you're going to be here. And we're going to be talking about something that we don't often talk about in the consciousness community, a necessary ingredient for transformation that doesn't seem to be oh so spiritual, but is really, really important. I'm excited about our guest today, but before I introduce her, I want to say hello to the two men behind the technology today, Jacob at TTR. Hey there, Jacob.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Yeah, despite the clouds, you know, I'm thinking about Arizona, dreaming about Arizona.
Me too. Yeah. It's kind of gloomy out there and it's kind of got me down today, but you know what? It's okay.
Yeah. It's hard this time of year sometimes. And Benny, you're always chipper. So how do you do it?
Well, I was actually going to say, come on, Jacob, turn that frown upside down, little buddy. Come on, big hug. Big hug.
I feel better now.
Yeah. See, that's my boy. That's it. All right. It's a love month, right? So we got to love on.
It is. It's also a birthday month for both me and my guest. We have the same birthday, not the same birth date because we're different ages, but it's that. And my goodness, 9 years ago today, or on the first, actually, a couple of days ago, 9 years ago this week, was when I started my own show, the Christine Upchurch Show, here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. 9 years. Oh my gosh.
Well, hey, why not?
Hey, everybody. Happy birthday to Christine and her show.
All right, that's enough. You know, we don't like to continue on.
Yeah.
Congrats.
It's funny. Yes, awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's funny because my guest today is Sabrina Fritz, and she's partly the reason why I ended up doing my own show, because she and I decided, hey, you know, we're sort of at this transition point in our career. We had left this organization that we worked for before as healers and as teachers of healing, and we were looking for a new gig, you know, something to get our message out, something to kind of rebel in a new way. And she convinced me to do it. We did it together, Authenticity Rising. We did it for like 8 or 9 months. It was great. And then I transitioned into my own show and she transitioned into some other things. But again, my guest today is Sabrina Fritz. She's a certified block therapy instructor. We're going to hear about that. She is an advocate for people who have experienced sex trafficking, human trafficking, as well as abusive relationships. And she's got a background herself in the abusive end of things, and she'll share a little bit about. She lives up on a mountaintop, and she's really good at not only staying in alignment herself, but reminding us that we need to do the same in order to manifest our goals. But she's also the person that I really wanted to talk to about this topic. One of the things that I've been realizing recently is that rebellion is a very important part of our own personal, spiritual, psychological expansion. We often think of spirituality as being something where, okay, you look at your shadow and you connect with the divine and you stay centered and you surrender to what is. But there's also another piece of it where we have to rebel against all sorts of things. We're going to talk about that. And Sabrina is one of the most rebellious people I know and one of the most in alignment people I know. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Sabrina Fritz.
Well, thank you, Christine. It's such a pleasure to be here to celebrate our birthday in 2 days early.
Yes.
And, you know, talk about a subject that's very near and dear to my heart, rebelliousness.
Yeah. And it's funny because here I am talking about the beginning of radio and I'm like tripping over my own words and stuff. It's one of those things where we start a journey and we don't know where it's going to end. Don't know where it's going to take us. And I want to hear a little bit about your journey, particularly as it relates to rebellion. Can you share with our viewers?
When you were tripping up on your words, I really liked that instead of the necessary ingredient, you said agreement. And I agree that rebellion is a necessary agreement to transformation, not just an ingredient. My rebellious journey probably started way back in Catholic school. That was probably the first time I stood up to authority, really, with my freshman year of high school. I decided I wasn't going to attend confession anymore, that I didn't need to have an intermediary to tell God what I was feeling and thinking and sorry for anything like that. And so the punishment that I received, I mean, the nun wasn't really happy. Sister Teresa was not happy with me. And it was not a popular opinion that I was holding, but she couldn't argue that I didn't have that direct connection with God that I already felt. And so my punishment was to kneel the whole time that the entire school went into confession.
Oh, no. So,
you know, but it was important for me to have that conviction that I didn't need that. And so that was probably the start. I mean, definitely my parents would argue it started much earlier than that. My mom swears that my favorite question as a young child was why? You know, I just kept asking why. And yeah. I never really got any good answers. And so I kept pushing the boundaries at a very early age. But ultimately, I think that what as an adult, because I did, you know, I was rebellious against kind of the normal societal expectations of what we're supposed to do. And I knew that, you know, I wasn't going to go to college and I wanted to just get out of school as soon as possible. I knew I could do whatever I wanted to do and put my mind to it. I did end up falling into that trap of corporate America. And I became, you know, the HR manager and I had the career and I was ascending and doing all those things, paying the bills, supporting my family. But it didn't feel right. It wasn't something that brought me a lot of joy, even though I was able to rebel against the system at that time. We're talking in 2005, creating a work from home environment for myself where I only had to go into the office one day a week. Now, if that company, after a year of doing that, who wanted me back in, and I said, no, I didn't want the commute. And that's when I gave my notice after 13 years working for that company. You know, and it wasn't a 2-week notice. It was, you know, let's train somebody and then I'll leave. But I knew in my heart, I didn't want to continue to spend my time and energy commuting and being unproductive. And it wasn't calling my heart anymore. And I actually had that time had the rollover accident that trained me. And, you know, I led to being trained and healing work where you and I met, and I'm so grateful for that. And that's where my heart was. I wanted to work with people and individuals and help their personal transformation along with mine. But it was hard to be that HR manager, the benefits administrator, the one that was getting everyone and registered in the benefits, including health insurance, which I think is the most inaccurate description of what that is,
because it's a whole other topic.
But that medical insurance,
and
it held me. You know, those benefits and that need for security held me much longer than I felt I wanted to be there. But you know, that was the sensible thing to do. But when my the CFO called me into the office that day that I was in the office, and she said, you know, that the CEO wanted me back in full time. I knew I didn't want that in my life. That was not where I was in my path, in my journey. And I knew then I needed to give my notice and it was time for me to leave. Now, it took some time to change my beliefs and that programming I had from society around that insurance piece. You know, I had kids.
And so we're going to talk about rebelling against beliefs. But at this point, you said you rebelled against your religion, you rebelled against your school, you rebelled against corporate America saying it needs to be done this way and not that way. And you moved forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. And every time I did and didn't accept the what is, what was expected, the safe, the secure, you know, that's what my sister does. That's for her, not for me. My life has grown exponentially. I've connected with new people. I've learned new things. I've been able to impact more lives and make greater change in the world because of it. Now, I could have easily just stayed there in, you know, my little office under the fluorescent lights, eating ibuprofen like candy, and, you know, probably been in a much better financial situation than I might be right now, according to some people.
Right.
You know, I've never had an issue. Everything's always been met. All the needs have always been met and more.
Mm-hmm. So it's funny because I think we've been sold a bill of goods within the New Age movement about what it means to be spiritual, because I think that there are so many sort of unspoken rules. And one of them is that we must sort of acquiesce. Okay, we can set boundaries, but it's about staying centered. It's about observation. It's about neutrality. It's about detachment. It's about healing our wounds. And yet, to me, it's not just about like setting boundaries and allowing things to come in and just even giving, you know, loving things out. It's also about pushing back, because if we don't push back, then we aren't breaking through our belief systems. We're not breaking through societal structures. We're not breaking through the collective consciousness, which to me seems really, really important right now.
I agree. It's extremely important, especially as an advocate for survivors of violence and domestic violence, sex assault. You know, I was meeting with the DA this morning in a case, and that's, you know, we're stuck in the confines of what the law will allow and, you know, statutes and things like that. And no one's ever going to get justice. And that's what's hard for these victims, that to go up against a system that is determined to continue to re-victimize them. And it's like, how do you stand up without getting hurt more, you know, and finding that courage to do so, knowing that ultimately you're going to be a target when you do, but you have to, you know, because your convictions, your voice is so important to be heard. And that's the only way that we can get change. That's the only way we can make legislative change. You know, honestly, I could share stories with you and your audience that would probably shock you into what goes on in today's judicial system for victims. Mm-hmm. And yet we're stuck with it because there hasn't been any real force coming up and saying, this is unacceptable and we aren't going to stand for it anymore. We really need to make a change. And if it's just one person at a time, that's what I'm going to do.
And I think about what's been going on up in Canada and at the northern border of the United States with the truckers protesting the government saying, this is what you have to put in your body or else you don't get to be a trucker. You don't get to cross the border. And it's, to me, what's going on is something that is absolutely rebellious, right? And it is saying the system is broken. If this is what you're saying that we as individuals need to do, if we as a whole collective have to do, and we need to change the system. So it's really a macrocosm of the same sort of thing that you're talking about.
And there are strength in numbers. And I believe that. And I love seeing what's happening. I love seeing people come together for medical freedom and, you know, personal choice. People who have also chosen to have the shots injected into them are standing up for other people's rights. Yes. And that's the way it should be. It should be a personal choice, just like anything in life should always come down to a personal choice. Otherwise, as I can tell you as an advocate, the behavior of the government is very oppressive and very much a perpetrator and power and control behavior. And if we don't stand up and our voices are silenced, then we all know what happened back in the 20s and 30s in Germany, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's the sort of thing where the rebellion it's almost like it goes from sort of setting boundaries. Okay. Like if we're sovereign individuals and we set the boundaries in whatever way we see is important. And then this oppression comes through and says, oh, you need to be controlled for the sake of others, or you need to be controlled because we say so. And to me, we can't just sort of acquiesce to that and allow. It's like, we set our own boundaries, and I believe we can set our own energetic boundaries. We can set our own, you know, physical boundaries. But as a collective, it's not going to change unless we push back in one way or another. And it doesn't mean it has to be in any way violent. No. It's really a matter of saying no more. And you work for us. Why are you telling us what we have to do? That there's some things that are very broken about the system. And to me, it's that part of the rebellious process is the illumination of about where boundaries have been crossed and where they need to be fixed.
And having that illumination is critical. And unfortunately, I feel like unless you connect within and can feel your own personal power and that you actually do have power and you do have the right to make decisions regardless of what mandates might be in place and so forth, then, you know, you're going to actually affect a bigger change. So many people, this is the issue that I find this with a lot of my clients in my advocacy work. They believe that if you follow the rules, that makes you a good person.
So many of us have felt that way. Yeah. And I know that with your upbringing, you were rebelling from a young age. And for me, I was sort of a closet rebeller for a long time, but I tried really hard to be a good girl. I tried really hard to follow the rules, to play the game, to stay in a dysfunctional marriage, to be that good person who was following the authoritarian or the authority's dictates, which are in some cases authoritarian and not just, you know, following the rules so you don't, like, you know, kill somebody, but and it's very, very freeing to finally rebel.
Very liberating, isn't it? It's like pulling your bra off.
Which I promise I won't do on camera, guys.
Well, I could. Nobody would know. And so,
wow.
You
know,
it is so liberating. It's like taking the pillow off of your face. It's like breathing air for the first time. It's like, oh my gosh, every cell in your body just comes alive.
It does. It does. And it's one of the things I think as we start to realize that boundaries have been crossed and we are rebelling against them. And by the way, folks, I did want to back up for a minute. Regarding the truckers up in Canada and the northern border of the US, if you are only following this on mainstream media, you are not getting the story. I am shocked to see, like, I see dozens of videos every single day come across, you know, my account. And it's like, whoa, look at this inspiring thing. People cheering it, overpass, you know, next overpass and the next overpass, all the way from British Columbia, all the way to Ottawa. Look at the farmers coming on their tractors in sub-zero temperature, you know, like, it's amazing. These people feeding each other, these people feeding the homeless, these people picking up trash. It is, and staying very, very peaceful. So it, you know, hearing that it's, oh, the Russians are involved and, you know, it's fringe and all this stuff. It's like, you know, it's really illuminating not only some of the authoritarian control that I believe needs to be eliminated, but it's also illuminating how the media lies. And they don't lie about everything, mind you, but they lie about quite a few things or manipulate, you know. And so it's really like part of rebelling against one thing or another in our lives, as we do it as sovereign individuals, setting boundaries and saying no to something, is realizing that there's a whole lot more we should be rebelling against. And I know I lost my train of thought, but I did want to point that out to people, because we're talking about the trucker protests, and there are people who are totally misinformed about it.
Well, there is a lot of, you know, that happening. And as you know, I've been a rebel. I turned off the news 2005. I mean, a lot of things changed in 2005. You know? And I'm grateful for that. And so I don't get fed the, what I do refer to as big pharma's media, because I know it's bought and paid for by their sponsors. And we all should be leery about, you know, if you just ever want to know who's sponsoring the information you're receiving, just look at the advertisements in between the commercial break. And I don't watch it, but I can guarantee there's multiple pharmaceutical drugs in those broadcasts, and you need it. I mean, if I watched the news, I'd be drugged too. I would, that's the only way I could survive. And you know me, I live on top of a mountain, like you said, and that's because I like trees more than people. It's more healing. It's a good environment, but I can't rebel too much from my mountaintop. So I do come down and I do work with in parameters that I feel like I can influence change, which I know, you know, small ripple effects do make greater ones overall. And that's what we all should be doing. If it seems too overwhelming and, you know, there's a lot of fear associated with stepping out and stepping, when you step out of line, you become a target. The light is on you. And so then you have to be prepared to stand in that power and own your own truth and be able to take the punishment that comes from doing that. Cause people get really uncomfortable when you step out of line because they don't know what to do then, you know, well, am I supposed to step out of line with you? Or do I need to get you back into line? Because I don't know, you know, and it just really confuses people, but it does make you a target. If you put your voice out there enough, that it does make people uncomfortable if it goes against their already pre-programmed beliefs. And that's sad to me. It's sad to not question again, why, you know, I have to tell you, I'm so rebellious. I refuse to get COVID no matter how many times I'm exposed to it, including this past week with my husband who got it and didn't show symptoms until, you know, after we were in the bedroom together. And we don't practice social distancing or masks usually in our bedroom place. So, you know, we were just completely wild, but yet still I'm no symptoms and negative. And that's just because COVID doesn't exist in my world. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. And I'm not a denier. What I am saying is it does not exist in my world. And I can own that and believe that and know it every fiber of my being. No, and I've been exposed multiple times, but I will not have COVID because it does not exist in my world, in my world, in my body. And yeah, so
that's an interesting version of sovereignty, that you are whole and self-defined and self-determined and so you don't have to accept aspects of the external reality controlling you in any way, shape, or form.
Well, and fear, if I would have had any kind of fear as soon as he started demonstrating symptoms, knowing, you know, that he had COVID before a test, more than likely, then yes, I could have easily attracted symptoms and that virus, but I didn't have any fear around it, even though, you know, we weren't practicing all those things that we were told we're supposed to. And you have to understand, I am not a hand sanitizer. I'm not a sanitizer. I have chemical sensitivities. I have a non-toxic household, which means Lysol is banned from my household.
Mine too.
I would never put anything that causes, you know, has carcinogens in it in my home. And so not taking any practices. I'm not going behind him. I'm not, you know, and he's free just to be himself. And that's good. And that's the thing. It's like, we all are masters of our reality and creators of it. And I can tell you, when I think about getting sick, it just doesn't feel good. So I just choose not to.
And you live a fairly clean life. And I think what happens sometimes, and this is sort of the Chinese medicine perspective. And that is, if you do get sick, it is the virus coming to help eliminate toxins from your system. There's an imbalance and there needs to be a clearing. And I don't think you have to get to that point, but if you do, it's not because you have succumbed and been victimized by this thing, but rather it is working in concert with you. Mm-hmm. And if you approach it like, okay, well, this is telling me to sit down and drink plenty of fluids, right, and, you know, take some supplements and drink some broth, you know, whatever it is, I need TLC and I need to get my body back into balance. And yes, I know it can get to scary situations. I am not trying to to deny that it can be difficult. But I also think that we shouldn't view it as the enemy, because if we do get it, then there is something to be processed from it. There's something to be, allowed as we transform, whether it's eliminating physical toxins, you know, coming back to this notion of we need to more self-care, surrendering to what is, you know, there can be all sorts of lessons from it and benefits from it too. So it doesn't necessarily have to be all bad.
No, my husband's really happy he got it. Now he's going to have natural, immune system and his immunity towards it. And he was actually relieved to see that it wasn't a big deal. And you're right. There are plenty of people, and I know some, that have had major reactions to the virus, mm-hmm. and it's very unfortunate, but you're right. I also, I invest in my well-being, and that's that rebelliousness, leaving a system that told me I needed to have this health insurance, and knowing that, with my husband self-employed and then me self-employed and paying 10 grand a year at the time, mm-hmm. wasn't really something I wanted to invest in, that I could use those resources to invest in our well-being instead. I did that. So mm-hmm. the result is not having to have had any need for medical treatment for over 15 years now. I do, but I have that far infrared sauna, I do supplements. I did check my vitamin D level. So there was some help with the medical system I got recently, just to make sure my vitamin D was at a healthy level. And I found that it wasn't. So I increased the amount of supplements I was taking to address that. Yeah. So yeah. And we all have that ability, the body's innate ability and intelligence to heal itself is unmatched.
It is. And if we get sick, we haven't done something wrong per se. It's just a part of our journey. Yeah. And I think back to decades ago when I got the early stages of cancer, lymphoma, and conventional medical doctors didn't have anything to offer at the time, which sort of put me into this holding pattern. And there I was looking at the literature, hearing what the doctors had to say, and thinking, my life's going to be shortened. It's going to unfold in a really disturbingly, unpleasant way. How long can I hold this off, kind of thing? And then I realized this is a belief system that I need to rebel against. And it wasn't rebelling against the external world so much, although I did really get a kick out of rebelling against the doctor who said, oh, it looks like it's getting worse. And I intuitively knew it was getting better. And the pathologist said, oh, the cancer is less evident now. But it was really rebelling against my internal beliefs about being a victim to my body, being a victim to the external world, sort of riding into the medical system with some authority taking responsibility for me. I mean, it was like, I realized I've got to rebel against that whole model. I've got to rebel against my own personal victimization, sort of psyche, the imprint, that programming. And I had to rebel against the approach, because they said, oh, well, we'll biopsy you every month. Well, that meant a chunk of flesh out, for 2 weeks every month. And it's like, no, I'm not going to allow that. And, they said, don't do anything because we want to see what this turns into. And I'm thinking, I'm going to do everything I can, meditation, visualization, getting some sunlight, like on and on and on and on. I did all sorts of things. And lo and behold, and then the last thing I did was I chose to move across the country. And within 3 weeks of moving across the country and leaving my doctoral program, and I was this close to getting my doctorate, all the lesions disappeared. So it was like, The rebellion was less against the medical system and more against my belief system that had bought into all this stuff.
Yeah, I remember you even sharing that, you were going to get that doctorate even if it kills you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I realized it was. Mm-hmm. And so, it was this great, experience, because it taught me so much about my own beliefs. And in fact, when I found out about having the early stages of this, one of the things I chose not to do for the first year was to tell anybody in my family, because I knew that their belief systems were going to infect my belief systems, reinforce my upbringing's programming that I wanted to avoid, because I wanted to explore a different version of reality, a different set of beliefs. And so it was very helpful for me on my journey. And of course, you know, I ultimately became a healer because of it. But there was rebellion after rebellion after rebellion, and it wasn't easy.
Not easy, but it paid off really well.
Yeah, it did. It did. So during the last couple of years, I'm going to back up. First of all, you're talking about how you've avoided the news. And I had done the same thing for probably more than a decade, unless something big happened. I remember I was down in Tucson when the tsunami in Japan hit. And I was down there to be evaluated for this experiment to see the effects of healing on range of motion. It was, you know, so I was like immersed in that. And then when I was walking through the hotel lobby and saw the stuff about the tsunami, it's like I paid some attention to that. So there were moments along the way where I paid attention. And I would learn enough about issues to vote and those sorts of things. But I really stayed away from the news. And then in early 2017, my guide said, pay very close attention to the news. And I'm thinking, what's this about, right? And so I did. And I got into mainstream media in the tribe that I thought I belonged to. And I bought so much of it, hook, line, and sinker. And during the commercials, all those pharmaceutical commercials, I'd say, blah, 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 you know, where I'd fast forward through them, that sort of thing. But, and then I realized when the health issue was coming up, wait a minute, what they're saying, it's not based on the data. It's not based on those studies. I've looked into these things, you know, research statistician, you know, I know what you can say about data. It's like, wait a minute, that contradicts that study. And that, you know, the person who's actually saying it is contradicting himself. And like, it opened my eyes and I started diving into a different version of the news, right? A broader version of the news. And, you know, there's all sorts of stuff out there, but rebelling against the system, I think, on a grand scale right now is an important part of our transformation.
Well, and you see that happening in the unsponsored news that's out mm-hmm. there, and the doctors, the researchers, and the scientists who are sharing the information and the studies that they've done, who have nothing to gain and absolutely everything to lose
yes.
by speaking out. Again, stepping out of line, you're just setting yourself up as a target to be annihilated, you know, and it's hard. It takes a lot of courage to find your voice and to mm-hmm. speak against the socially acceptable norm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's interesting. There was one doctor in particular who was presenting on stage about her findings of what's in these things, you know, she's looked at them under the microscope. And she said that she let go of her house. She let go of her job. She let go of all these things that had defined her, because she has become a target, one of many, many targets. So there's so many out there. If you think they're just like fringe, there's a huge number of people who are like screaming from the rooftops about this stuff. But anyway, she said that she's never been happier. She's on purpose right now, on her purpose, her path. And she's let go of her attachment to all sorts of things in order to come forward and play her role.
And I'm glad, you know, that she's recognizing that she's happier with that. And she's risking her life.
Absolutely.
Her life is at risk, yet she's happier than she's ever been. And I think, you know, I'm sure there's been at least one lifetime that I know of at least one where I was buried alive for speaking out against an authority, the church, mm-hmm. government at the time. And, you know, that's what they want. They want to control people through fear, because fear is the ultimate enemy. Really, fear mm-hmm. is the ultimate enemy. If we could just learn that fear, you know, while the actual fear in our body that lets us know when there's a threat and kicks in fight and flight and mm-hmm. brings the adrenaline in and makes it so that you can survive an attack, an immediate sure. attack, that's great. But what happens is in our society, we don't have, it's not like the hunter-gatherer days where you have the threat and then you come back and you shake it off, you know, like the animals do. You can watch animals, the prey, if the prey gets away, once it can, it shakes its whole body, gets its central nervous system rebooted and gets back into alignment. And then it's done and it forgets mm-hmm. about the predator and it just moves on. This doesn't happen to humans because we continue to stay in this fight flight. And that's why I work with trauma survivors and I help them address the unresolved trauma that's staying in their cells. And I guarantee if you're watching mainstream news, you are a trauma survivor. You cannot not be, because that is so traumatizing to listen to what they're saying. And it does impact you on a physiological. There is shown, if there's studies that show trauma, unresolved trauma will lead to chronic disease, obesity, depression, and a decreased lifespan. Do we all know that, you know, the Generation Z is projected to live a shorter lifespan than their parents for the first time? And why is that? It's because our food supply is crap. There's so many chemical mm-hmm. and environmental toxins. They're born with screens in their neck or in their hands, and they have mm-hmm. scoliosis. And they're getting the Dowager's hump that you're supposed to get when you're 80 years old, not mm-hmm. when you're 18.
Yeah, and the type and so 2 diabetes at age 15 as opposed to at age 75.
Exactly. And so it saddens me to imagine that, you know, my grandchildren are not going to live as long or as healthy of a life that I have been afforded to live, unless if we start to make some serious changes and recognize that we can do so. We can take that power back in our own personal health and well-being.
I love the fact that you said power, because that's a really important aspect of rebellion. And rebellion doesn't have to look like violent pushback. It doesn't even have to look like marching in the streets. It can be how you spend your money at the grocery store. Mm-hmm. It can be what you say no to, who you interact with, which tribe, so to speak, you associate with, whether we're talking about political or medical, or even, you know, who you hang out with and what kind of things they like to talk about. Is it a bunch of negative stuff, or is it, you know, is it something that empowers you in a new way, makes you feel good about who you are, the best of who you are? So it's, yeah, we need to step into our power. And part of that is rebelling against what isn't serving.
Exactly. Identifying what isn't serving and simply choosing not to engage or play with it. And it's just that, it's really that simple. And, you know, we own a family business. It currently is in a county that still has some mandates here in Colorado. But when those mandates came back in, we didn't implement them at our business. Mm-hmm. And I've shared that with some people and they're like, oh my God, well, you know, you can get fined. I'm like, mm-hmm. so, so, you know, ooh. Wow, does that make me a bad person if I get fined for not doing something that I don't believe in? Because mm-hmm. I can guarantee, you know, I've had one or two speeding tickets in my life.
Only.
Oh, that's all I'll confess to. And I do on the check, I write in the memo, donation. You know, I just look, okay, I'm giving the county some money. And there's that little victim's comp. And I look at that, you know, when I'm serving my survivors, I'm like, and I can access some victims comp funds. I'm like, I've already paid into it. Let's just get some of that money back, you know? So, yeah, but we have to take a stand. I mean, I would much rather die for my convictions and standing up for what I believe in than to live a life of conformity. I mean, I can't think of anything more boring and more slow death than anything.
Yeah, it's to me that goes against the soul. And it doesn't mean that there aren't some things that our soul tells us we should conform with, right?
I don't kill people. Yeah. People deserve it. I've been provoked. I'd like to. I really would, but I don't. That is a line I don't cross.
Right. And I think that one of the most difficult things about the rebellion, as we sort of break through our belief systems and push forth based on our soul's connection into human form, we can find that we suddenly don't connect with, or, you know, the tribe that we've been associated with. And it might be a political party, you know, it might be our neighborhood community. It might be our family. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes really difficult to say, this is a tribe that I've felt connected to for all these years, that I've, you know, voted with, or I've done potlucks with, or, you know, whatever it is. And it no longer is in alignment with who I am. And that can be a really disorienting thing. And I know that there are plenty of people who are sort of, I consider them to be a part of the New Age movement, the consciousness movement, whatever you want to call it. And they have felt very much in alignment with certain political parties, certain, you know, political aims. And they've come to recognize that, oh goodness, there are ways in which that tribe of mine is going against my sovereignty, going against my personal beliefs. And it can be incredibly disorienting. Same thing with family members. It's like, you know, you want to be accepted, and yet what happens if that acceptance comes at a price of denying a part of yourself?
And it often happens. And it takes me back to when years ago, when I was in an abusive marriage, alcohol was my escape to numb, to not deal with what was going on. And it was becoming a problem, and I knew it was becoming a problem. So when I wanted to go to AA, I went to a coworker who I know was in AA, because it was before internet, you know, we had the phone books, and it's like, where are the meetings, you know, and they have a meeting list, you know, and all this. And I remember the words that she shared with me was, at that time, you can't play on the same playground anymore. And so what she meant was, if I was going to make this lifestyle change where alcohol was no longer going to be a part of my life, I couldn't still have the same friends and the same lifestyle that I had before, because I would continue to be tempted and probably not be successful in my desire to not drink. And I think that's the way it is with, you know, it's just like when my heart was calling me to facilitate healings, and I had this nice cushy job that I was able to do easily from home. And then when they wanted me back in the office, well, I knew I wasn't willing to make that compromise. Then it was time for me to leave that playground. And it was scary. Mm-hmm. It was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying. But the rewards were so beneficial financially, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, you know, and I wouldn't have been able to have the experiences I had in my life if I hadn't found the courage to do that. And so, yeah, it's hard. You know, I learned, and I've shared this with you years and years ago, that every relationship has an expiration date. And that's a really hard thing to accept. You know, sometimes it goes to death. Sometimes it's much earlier. And when you talk about family, it's been really challenging for me, because my beliefs and my big voice has definitely caused a rift with me and my eldest daughter. I haven't been able to see my granddaughter, and she is the light of the world. You know, the world spins as far as I'm concerned because of her. Now, it could be easier for me to acquiesce and to, you know, just placate people and to go against my beliefs to please others. And I've known others. I've known other people my age who acquiesced to getting things into them that they didn't want just to please family members. And I'm not willing to risk my health and well-being for that. Mm-hmm. I just can't do that, because I do believe that there would be a risk to my health and well-being if I did that. Because right now, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know? And I take very good care of myself and make sure that I will only need medical treatment in an acute injury or infection phase, you know? It's not easy. It's not easy. And we lose some friendships, but ultimately, you know, you have to ask, were they friends to begin with? And it's okay. It's okay to cull the herd. You know, you don't need everybody to like you and to stand up with you. And there's never a crowd on the leading edge, is there? There's never a crowd on the leading edge.
No, there's not. There's absolutely not. That's a great point. And I love this concept of leaving the playground, because one of the things I've learned over time is that you leave one playground, eventually you find another playground that's more fun, you know, and then you leave a playground again and you might feel like, oh, I'm not having as much fun. I don't have as many playmates. And then you find your way to yet another playground. And it's like, oh, wow, there's so many more things we can do on this playground. And it's more fulfilling on this playground. Mm-hmm.
And that's it. I mean, you know, we know if we hold on too tightly or cling too tightly to what is, we're not allowing what can be. And I've always wanted to see what could be, what else is possible? What else is available? There's, you know, just because complacency, you know, contentment is overrated, I think. I mean, a lot of people would just like to be content in their life, and I understand that, but I think it's overrated because it's boring, unless if your only entertainment is a screen in front of you, you know, if you're not living your life anyway, you're just living vicariously through the information you receive. And I remember this, we had a conversation a few weeks ago, and this little bright epiphany came through that we're all a product of the information we consume. That's it. We are a byproduct of the information we receive, and everything is information. You know, everything is information. It's how we interpret things that it and how it resonates then with us, and what we hold on to determines on how it manifests in our life. But everything is information, and we are definitely a product of the information we're consuming, just like we are a byproduct of the food we consume and the products we put on our skin. And, you know, I just, you know, when I see the one where it's like, why would you question the ingredients and something that's scientifically proven when you don't question what's in your, you know, deodorant and your face cream? It's like, yes, I do question it. And my shampoo, that's why I don't use those things. That's why, you know, other things that don't have all the parabens and the carcinogens in it and things like that, because I want to be as healthy as I can be. And I'm, as an informed consumer, it goes back to what you were saying. It's like, we vote with our dollars. That's how we can rebel, you know. I'm not very popular with my parents because I rebel against Nestle. You know, I think Nestle is one of the worst corporations, most evil corporations out there in the world, and what they're doing on the planet. And I grew up with, you know, Nesquik chocolate milk, you know, and it was my favorite. Yeah. And I had my kids on it, you know. And my dad is, you know, going to be stored in his body in a Toll House cookie, you know, can. So, yeah, but yeah, it's like Nestle, no, don't, you know, I will not, and I have a hard time not opening my mouth when I see somebody with their Pure Life bottle that you get from McDonald's and wherever, because, you know, they're infiltrated everywhere. I mean, you can't go to the Midwest and get any other kind of water, you know, and that's sad because, you know, do you really think water is a privilege and not a right?
That's what the CEO has said. Yeah,
that is what the CEO has said. And I don't believe that. I think people should have the right to clean, pure drinking water, period.
And, you know, one of the things that I've come to realize is that with my own personal rebellion, my own, sometimes it's professional rebellion, but it's always a rebellion against an existing belief system I've had or an external belief system that I've never bought into. I am vocal in some ways, but with certain people, I just back off. And with you know, certain family members, it's like, well, we're just going to agree to disagree. And I respect people choosing their path. But, you know, I don't need to validate their path. I also don't necessarily need to challenge it. I think that some people really are thirsty for having their minds opened. And unfortunately, it's, you know, there's so much information out there, but it's not just about the information. It's about how it's been imprinted upon us, within us, on an emotional level, because that creates the programmed pattern. So it's interesting to see how people are just like have this religious sort of orthodoxy about, you know, the existing narrative. And that if you just even bring something up about how it's, you know, it should be challenged or questioned, how they get totally off kilter about it. And, you know, I've seen so many people on Twitter and other social media basically saying, I hope these people who made that choice die, you know? I hope they have their children taken away. Like, it's just shocking to see how off kilter people can get. And it, and that programming is more than information. It is that is a programming to believe like you believe, like have faith in God. It's like, but have faith in our version of science, have faith in this narrative. And for those people, there's nothing I can do, no information I can provide, no links I can provide for them that will affect how they believe, because it's imprinted in them on a on an energetic level.
Right. And you're a threat to them because you are, you know, threatening their belief, their programming. And they have also, you know, have the belief that they need to eradicate any threat to that. And it's sad. And again, that just comes from a place of fear when we can't, you know, look at everyone has their path, their choice. You know, there's no one path, one spiritual path, one pathway to your creator. There's multiple paths, you know, and they're all just as equal and important as the next one. But, you know, when you question somebody's belief, it's very challenging for them to not have a defense reaction, a defensive reaction. And some are just so ingrained that, you know, you're right. You can give them all the evidence and they're blind to it. They cannot see it. And this is unfortunate because these are very, what I would consider, well, intelligent, or at least they have the certificate hanging on their wall to show their intelligence.
Some of them are very intelligent and yet educated, totally unwilling.
And yet just blocked down and shut down when, you know, you present them with facts and statistics that are undeniable. They will find a way to discredit it because it's just so threatening to who they are as an individual.
Yeah.
And they can't imagine, but you know, how many people, you know, are going to actually, when I think more information is brought to light and maybe some of that information actually does start to get more on mainstream media. If people are going to recognize, you know, recognize that they've been duped, you know, and that's not easy to admit. It actually takes a lot of courage to admit that you've been tricked.
and the consequences
as a survivor of domestic violence, you know, it took a lot for me to finally start sharing what was happening. At the time, I couldn't do it. It was too embarrassing. It was too shameful.
Right. Yeah. And I think that there's been such gaslighting and it's been done in very manipulative, but very sophisticated ways. Some of it not so sophisticated, but it's to realize that we have been malleable to the manipulation is a hard thing to accept. And, you know, I just want to bring this back to, if we're going to expand, it's really, really important that we're willing to question our beliefs, that we're willing to let go of our attachment to them, which is not an easy thing, and then to rebel against the structure of the programming within us in order to go to that next level of awareness, that next level of connection. It just feels so important. And we're running out of time. I want to make sure that our viewers and listeners know how they can connect with you. What's your website?
Website is sabrinafritz.com. That's S-A-B-R-I-N-A-F-R-I-T-T-S. But if you do the traditional F-R-I-T-Z, you'll still find me.
Okay, great, great. Final message in about a minute.
Oh my gosh, in a minute. That's the hard part. You know, honor yourself. Question your beliefs, be willing to accept something new and the gifts that that brings when you find the courage to pursue it.
I love that. I love that. All right. So first of all, I want to thank you for joining me here today. I love our conversations. When I was thinking about the importance of rebellion, you were top of the list because you've taught me so much about that. And I also want to thank you for getting me into radio once upon a time.
Oh, it's, pleasure.
Because it's been so much fun. You know, over these 9 and a half, pushing 10 years, we started in July of 2013, was it 2012? I don't remember.
I think you and I started in 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. 2012. Yeah. Yeah. 2012. Yeah. 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 So
yeah. Thanks, Sabrina. Oh, thank you, Chris.
And thank you, everybody, for joining us here today.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you'd like to empower yourself to step further into your vibration of change, please visit my website at christineupchurch.com, where you can learn more about my insights, upcoming events, and private sessions.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.